In Crisis. From The Desert Storm. By Blue Sunshine. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of George Lucas. Chapter 4. Ben inhales deeply, quelling frustration at the pantheon of aides and protocol droids and senatorial attendants that seem persistent in waylaying him and Qui-Gon, and chokes on a sudden waft of pungent rot. Qui-Gon, trying to edge around a pair of particularly corpulent Hoke, glances at him in concern. "Are you all right?" Ben, however, has forced his lungs still and thrown all his focus into his shields, into blurring his own existence until he was nearly indistinguishable as an individual, a skill perfected during the Jedi purges. His eyes scan the large indoor courtyard full of milling delegates and representatives, and he catches a flash of familiar Nubian plum purple, trimmed in Republic blue. Ben is looking right at him, and the Force whispers of nothing at all.
"Master Nasadeh,"
Qui-Gon asks again, pointedly irritated at being ignored.
"Too much perfume in the room," Ben murmurs, letting his gaze drift away, though all his instincts are screaming at him. "I am calm. I am not angry. I am not dangerous. I have no enemies here,"
he lies to himself, painting layer over layer of falsehood around his mind until it was all anyone would be able to see. Senator Palpatine turns, casting a seemingly curious glance around the room, and his gaze passes right over Ben Nasadeh. It lingers on Qui-Gon Jinn for a moment and then dismisses him. The senator returns to his conversation. Several senators and ambassadors try and gain their attention, as always when a Jedi lingers in these halls, and Qui-Gon grows increasingly frustrated at the way Ben seems to seamlessly avoid unwanted conversation while he himself cannot.
"Who are you looking for?"
Qui-Gon growls irritably, extracting himself from another accostation.
"Friendly faces,"
Jin growls wordlessly.
"Senator Valorum is a friend of mine."
"He represents Coruscant itself, and Coruscant has a dense enough population as it is," Ben says dismissively, sounding harsher than he means to.
"Coruscant has resources," Jin protests.
"Tell that to those on the lower levels, which is where our refugees would end up," Ben retorts, and finally spies a flash of metallic silver, tracking it until it resolves as bracers on the arms of a young man in stately gray, with subtle adornments of the deep Alderaani royal blue.
"There we are," Ben murmurs,
taking in thick dark hair and a smooth-shaven face, though possessed of the shadow of an easy smile. He looks different without his well-groomed goatee and the strands of silver at his temples, but his eyes possess the same directness that Ben had always found reassuring.
"That's a senator's aide, Master Nasadeh. He'll hold very little influence, if any," Qui-Gon mutters.
"That is a member of the Royal House of Alderaan, Master Jin. And I have more interest in speaking with Alderaan's queen than with its representative."
"That is not what we have been tasked to do," Jin protests,
but doesn't actually manage to lay a hand on Nasadeh to stop him as he eels through the crowd like a brush of wind.
"Lord Organa,"
Ben calls softly, and the young man turns, surprised, and surprised again to see a Jedi asking for him. Ben lifts both his palms upwards and bows his head in the traditional Alderaani manner, and Bail repeats the gesture.
"I'm not sure we've ever been introduced, Master Jedi, though if we have, I apologize for my lapse,"
the young man says easily, one brow slightly lifted in puzzled amusement at his own expense.
"Master Ben Nasadeh, and my counterpart Qui-Gon Jinn,"
Ben introduces as the other Jedi strides up behind him in a huff.
"May we speak with you?" "If this is about matters of the Senate, I'm afraid I don't actually hold a seat yet."
"Not at all," Ben shakes his head.
"I'm rather more interested in speaking directly with Alderaan as opposed to the Senate."
Bail tilts his head, intrigued, and glances around. There are several eavesdroppers, and he catches Ben Eye with a silent question. "It's not a private matter. We'll be approaching many worlds today, I'm afraid," Ben says, Qui-Gon fuming in confusion to his left.
"Early this morning, Rylor 4 experienced a globally catastrophic event, and the Jedi are responding to their plight at this very moment. I would like to address Alderaan on the possibility of taking in as many as 6,000 refugees. Not through any subcommittee action. Ben lifts a hand, stalling Bale's immediate response. But as a request from the Jedi Order directly to the Queen of Alderaan. The Jedi ourselves cannot provide any reparations if Alderaan were to agree, and as of yet we simply do not know if the Republic will reimburse those who offer sanctuary either. Bale closes his mouth, dark eyes serious as he considers what has just been said. 6,000 of how many? He inquires after a moment, voice solemn. Initial estimates were stated at 80,000 potential refugees, Qui-Gon offers, attempting to feel useful and finally catching on to the plot. 80,000, Bale repeats softly. You could ask the Queen to accept more. 8,000 at least, Alderaan has the resources. With no recompense, I would be relieved if 6,000 were accounted for. My second request is more personal, Lord Organa. I'd like to ask you to assist my partner and I in finding and convincing other suitable and agreeable worlds to take in our refugees. I understand that this puts your own name and position on the line, however, I accept, Bale says without hesitation. And Ben smiles fondly. Bale had never hesitated to do his part, regardless of what it might cost him. Christophus came to mind. I am most grateful, Lord Organa, Ben bows. Follow me to my office, Bale requests, gesturing a hand in guidance. We can call the Queen directly from there. Qui-Gon lifts a brow at that, but Bale, being Bale, doesn't blush. Neither a senator's aide nor a junior member of the royal house should have a direct line to the Queen. Her lover, however. Master T! Her Mikian Padawan calls out, resolving out of the ash-laden dust with a Corellian woman slung across her back. Knight Lysa, her partner, becomes visible just beside her, cradling two younglings. All of her searchers are caked in ash and dust, their rebreather masks going through filters rapidly. Somak, the Salonian Padawan, has it the worst. It clings to her fur in heavy clumps, and she has the task of sometimes literally burrowing someone out. And T's montrals ache from the unusual atmospheric charge created by the distant eruption. Great cracks often crumble away into massive ravines or sinkholes, and only through use of the Force have they avoided more losses today, sometimes being forced to leap to safety when stable ground suddenly dissolved. They've watched half a village shatter and collapse already, buildings folding in on themselves and sliding into the earth in a haze of dust and roaring sound. Knight Dire, her other Togruta, is serving as their medic, but if they don't leave soon, some of their rescued farmers are going to be beyond saving.
Rescue Team 9-2, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Control, Shaak replies through her comm, waving the Mikian Padawan closer in.
We're building up to a second eruption. You're too far out. Pull back,
Control orders. We're still finding survivors, Shaak protests. They've only been on the ground for, she checks her comm, 20 hours. They should have had 3 times that amount. They needed 3 times that.
You have to pull back,
Control repeats, sounding stressed.
You're in the red zone. There's too much activity in that area, and if you're there when the second eruption hits, we can't save all of them.
The knight on the other end whispers,
please pull back.
They repeat again. Shaak Ti grits her teeth, a high warning trill singing in the back of her throat, but acknowledges the command. Everyone back to the transports, Shaak Ti orders over her comms. Now!
I've got someone down here,
Padawan Somak reports.
Give me a few more minutes, Master.
Knight Tortulu, confirm Padawan Somak's report, Shaak Ti calls.
We can sense 2 survivors in the basement beneath us. The structure's unstable, but I'm holding it in place. We'll have them out shortly. Please give us time,
the Miralukan knight responds. Be swift, Shaak Ti acknowledges, kneeling to help Knight Dire move one of their more critical patients onto a gurney and into the transport. They'll be crowded, having found stragglers coming in from a village the initial survey had reported lost, but Shaak Ti will get them all to fit. She's not leaving anyone behind that she doesn't absolutely have to.